Okay, let's get into Maisras Daf Mem Hei, and we are on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, second to last daf here in the Masechta, three lines to the bottom on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. So we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding if somebody does meruach, somebody creates gemar malacha for their friend without their friend's das. Hamareach kilyo shel chaveiro shalomi daito. Somebody's memareach shalomi daito. So being mafrish shalomi daito, that's a separate issue. That gets into other issues of doing a mitzvah on somebody else's behalf when they didn't ask you to do the mitzvah, being misakin kri, right? The whole source for shlichus. One of the sources for shlichus is afrashas truma. So clearly you can't just do it shalomi daito easily. Maybe you could have a later gilui das to be able to solve the, to show that he was originally happy anyway. But here, what about creating the situation of chiyuv gemar malacha without the knowledge of the owners? That was the machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said nitmal. Reish Lakish says yeah, it automatically works. It is called the gemar malacha, and Reish Lakish says no, it is not. So we are trying to bring rayas lakana lakans. We quoted the Mishnah in Chala yesterday, which we're going to have a second answer to Be'ez Hashem today. So just keep that question in mind that we had already. That was the case where a number of women gave a baker a sa'or. And if he combines it when he is in the middle of the baking process, the Mishnah said, so then he is im ein b'shalach l'mei kishir p'tur b'nachalavim v'ein b'shal kulon kishir. And it says, if each one of them, the Mishnah said, the Mishnah said a challah, if all together they have the shear, so then it still does not work. It has to be, each one has to have the shear. So don't you see from there, but the baker is doing get shalom midas. So according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, shouldn't that be gemar malachas? So the Gemara answer, no, that's different, because the baker is going to split it up. He's putting it together only temporarily. He's going to split it up and give it back to the women. Unlike other cases, when does Rabbi Yochanan say that there is nitbal? That's only if it's going to stay together. Or it's going to stay together. We quote another Mishnah that said a nachtom that's going to split up his own sa'ar. It's chayiv and chala. It's going to be split up. So don't we say, and yet Rabbi Yochanan says, Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree there. You have to agree with that Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no. By the baker, if he finds one person to give it all to, then he'll give it all. So it's not dafka going to be separated. Unlike the women, where it's for sure going to be separated. Okay, that was the end of that, the last daf. So Amar Leh. We're up to Amar Leh, three lines from the bottom on Mem Dal and Amar Beis. Amar Leh Vatani. But didn't we learn in a brisa, getting back to our ants that we discussed. If you have these ant holes that are right next to an arema hachayeves, meaning an arema bundle that already had gemar malacha, so it's chayev v'tshuvas and maisris, hare elu chayavin. I'm sorry, this is a quote from our Mishnah, not the Braisa. Right? This is why this whole discussion is here, because they're asking a question from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if you find these ants next to the, and they have these kernels, and it's right next to a pile that is chayiv. So you assume that these kernels came from this pile, and therefore they're chayiv. But habitzad arema betura. But if it would be next to a large pile that did not have gemar malacha, maybe it was still covered in its shell, and you didn't thresh it yet, and you didn't process it yet. So then peturin, then it'll be pater. What's the diuk? So the diuk is that the ants, we assume at this stage, when the ants take these kernels, they take off the chaff. They take off the outside because they only want the kernels. So the ants are doing gemar malacha without the das of the bialim. And what do you see? That it's still pater. If it's next to a big pile which has all the chaff on it, and then the ants take it and they're doing it shalomi daito, you see they're pater in the second half of the mishnah, right? The diak, right? Habitzadariyah patura paturin. So isn't that a raya against Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says if it's done Shlomi das Bailam, the Gemar Malacha, it is Chayiv, meaning it's now Chayiv and Maisrus and Nitbal, while here, the Diyuk of our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Bi Yadua, remember the line of the Mishnah? She Yadua, you know it came from what's right next to it, and we have the Chazanish in the last year. Because you know that they didn't take it from anywhere else, you know the ants took it from what's close. So the Mishnah is Meduyuk, that only if you took it from a pile that is Mechuyev Gemar Malacha, but if not, it will be Pater, even though they basically do Gemar Malacha. Shalom Midas Bailam. Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan. Two answers. Amar Rabbi Yonah, first answer. Amar Rabbi Yevo, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Yeyush. Yeyush. What's Yeyush? Yeyush is giving up hope of the owner. So, explains the Mara Folta and the other Mefarshim, if the owner gives up hope, then even if the ants, you know, do Gemar Malacha, if Gemar Malacha is done when something is basically Hefker, then there's no Chiyuv. So that's why, in a case where it's next to an Arema HaChayeves, where Gemar Malacha is basically already done, Hefker doesn't help. If something is already chayiv and chumas and maestros, and then I'm after it, that doesn't help. That doesn't remove the chayiv of chumas and maestros. So that's why, if it's next to an arema chayeves, then the yesh is not going to help. But if it's next to an arema patura, and then they do gemar malacha, but there was yesh in there, right? When the ants take it, there's yesh, and therefore, that's why patur in that case. Not because a gemar malacha, shalomidas bailim, is not mechayiv, doesn't create gemar malacha. That's not the reason. Rabbi Yochanan would say. Rabbi Yochanan says, really, Shlomi Das Bailim would create a chiyuv. But here, there's a different reason, because it's hefker. Because it's kehefker, I would say. Right? That's what the Mara Folder says on top. V'kaimalon, d'havilek yish bailim v'hefker, v'kaimalon, d'hefker eino poter elakiyuv kiran kodon gemar malachton. Hefker only helps where you were mafkir before gemar malacha, like in the case of next to a arema chayeves, a hapatura, aval achar shining mar malachton. But let's say in the case that's explicit in the Mishnah, where the ants take it from a pile that's already mechuyev in maestris, and then they're going to do gemar, and then there's going to be hefker, but that doesn't matter, right? Because it's already mechuyev. Ein hefker and potron laficha arema chayeves chayev ve'arima patura pater. Good. We're going to talk about that, but let's just do the second answer first. Shmuel bar Abba Amar vein shakiru Rashi shivalim. Maybe our Matthias is wrong. Maybe the ants aren't taken off the shells. And there's no Gemar Malacha being done, right? The kernels and the husks look exactly like they did in the pile. So maybe they didn't do that. The husks weren't removed, and therefore your question doesn't even get off the ground, period. Yeyush has not come up in a while. Yeyush is a big discussion exactly how that works. Yeyush comes up in various contexts. There's Yeyush comes up by Geneva. Yesh comes up by Aveda. Right, the Gemara is Mechali between those two. That's called the difference between Isura Asiliyade and Hetera Asiliyade. If I pick up a lost item, then I picked it up in a state of Heter because there was Yesh and, you know, he's the one, he lost it. But Geneva, I stole it. And that's kind of the reason why he gave up hope. That's called Be Isura Asiliyade. Tosfos and Baba Kama says Yesh is not Hefker. So what is it? Tosfos doesn't say what it is. Tosfos says what it isn't. Right? It's not exactly like Hefker. So how do you define Yeush? That is a big discussion in the Achronim. If you look in the Ksos and the Nesivus, here they actually seem to agree. The Ksos and the Nesivus, they both say Yeush is like, we have in Maseches Nedarim in the Bavli, we have the Shita of Rabbi Yossi about Hefker. Rabbi Yossi holds that Hefker is not really what we think Hefker is. Oh, now it's out of the Rishus of the Mafkir. Rabbi Yossi holds that when one is Mafkir, that's basically a Heter Lakicha. You're allowed to now take it. It's still mine. It's still in my Rishus, but you're allowed to take it. That's Hefker according to Rabbi Yossi. So the Ksos, the Nesiva say, that's Yeush according to us. Yeush is not Hefker, but Yeush is the Hefker of Rabbi Yossi, meaning the owner gives up hope that he's ever gonna get it back, but it has not left his rishus. That's what the Nesiva says in Reish Samach Beis. Vidinila Fiyazaiti. To bezech chiluk ben yesh lahefker. To behefker pligir Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. Ben Nedarim daf mem gimel. They argue. Rabbi Yossi, he says hefker is like a matana. And matana doesn't work until it gets the rishus of the zocher. So to hefker. Vine aftekai malam behefker davi hefker avagav deloas in the rishus zocher. We paskin, hefker is hefker automatically. It can leave my rishus before it gets into your rishus. And you're gonna pick it up from the street. Even the mafkir himself has to reacquire it. Hefker leaves my rishus. But yeush does not really leave the mafkir's rishus until the other person picks it up. And there are riots to this, but that's the shita of the Ksos and the Nesivus. Yeush is not like Hefker, as Tosfos says. Rashi and Gittin uses a lashon of Nisya Ashti for Hefker. So some identify Rashi as maybe connecting Hefker and Yeush. But the Nesivos and the Ksos both say otherwise. There are other formulations given by the Achron. Okay, there are rayas to this. Maybe at the end of this time, we'll go through some of the rayas of the Nesivos. The Chazon Ish's Lashon is that this is a Hefker Balkarcha. So maybe the mechanism is the same as Hefker, but the trigger for this mechanism is usually Hefker is because I was Mafker it. Yeush is Hefker Balkarcha. That's the Simen Yud Ches in Baba Kama, the Chazon Ish on that Tosus. Samach Vav Man Aleph. Mikan Mashmid the Yeush Eino Kehefker. What does that mean? Yeush is not like Hefker. Kavanasam. It means that the trigger is not like Hefker, but the mechanism itself is. So that's the Chiddush of the Chazon Ish. Kavanasam the Hefker who Oseh Merit So No Hatov, Vehu Echad Mehein Yanim Shatara Hishlita Es Abayla Mamamono. Hefker is something that a person could do from his own volition, and the Torah allows you to do this. The Torah allows you to sell something. The Torah allows you to be mafker something. Tells you how to be mocked or something. Ukemoshi yachol limkar v'liteinu lahakdish yachol lafkir ubezet zarch she'amamon tachas kocho v'shlitaso. It has to be in your control. That's what the Gemara says. Gazav alone is yashav ilam. If somebody else stole my item, I didn't give up hope yet. That's semi out of my rishus. I cannot be makdish in that case, or sell it or mafkir it. Avo yeush hu hafka'a balkarcha neged rizono. That's a hafka'a balkarcho. Ke'ein hefker deshat fanar. It's like, let's say I'm on a boat, and something in my hand flies out of my hand and goes into the water. And now I see it floating. I see my gold watch floating in the water in the ocean. And I'm screaming, I am not mafkir. I'm not mafkir. I want it back. Guess what? Tough luck. That's called zuto shoyam, and it's automatically Hefker. So automatically, because you're not going to get back based on natural occurrences. So shatvanar, and that's like, he says, that's like Yeush. That's like Yeush. Yeush is kind of like a Hefker Balkarcha. Based on either the situation, I lost it or it was stolen, but that's Yeush according to the Chazon Ish. There are other formulations as well. Rav Soloveitchik formulated as Hashlamas Shem Avud. Shlamas Shem Avud. That's why you can have a Yeush. Let's say I lost something, and I give up hope, but it's really under my bed. It's really, that happens sometimes, right? You can't, it's the hole in the middle of the earth for the yarmulkes, right? Where all the lost kippahs go in the middle of the night. What if something's under my bed? So there are Rishonim, I'd say the Ramban. You can't have Yeish by a Devar Shibershuso. Why? Because you can't be mashlin l'shem avud if it's still in your Rishus. And that's what Yeush is. Something is miksas avud, and this is lahashlim shem avud. Right? And once it's avud, so then it's not mine anymore. That's the formulation of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Asher Weiss in Baba Kama has a long piece where he discusses Yeush. He starts the other way. He says, bailus always requires an expression. So something in my rishus is an expression on my bailus. If I'm holding it, it's an expression on my bailus. If I hope to get something back, it's an expression on my bailus. You have a chiyuv hashava to me. So bailus always needs some type of expression. If there's no expression, it's not in my physical rishus. I don't have control of it. You don't have a chiyuv to give it back to me. There's nothing that connects this item to me, and it's nowhere. So then memela, my bailus evaporates. That's Yeush. Yeush is, he says, he gives the example in the first parakim sachim, crumbs. Crumbs of chametz. Crumbs of chametz are batel. What do you mean they're batel? They're physically in my rishus. Because there's no expression, I don't want it, I'm not going to eat it, it's not significant to me. So that's his mashal, one of his mashalim there, of for Yeush. Okay, so these are a number of examples of Achronim discussing Yeush. So we had the Nesivos, and the Chazon Ish, and Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Asher Weiss. So those are the four Yeush. And then we have Shmuel Bar Abba gave the second answer. So we'll get back to some of the Rayas maybe later. Says the Gemara, we continue, Masif. So now we're back to the Machlokas again, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. A situation of Gemar Malacha that's created Shalomi Das Bailim. Does that create Chiyuv of Maestris or not? Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So Masif, we flip the Gersa here. Masif, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish, who says that a situation created Shalomi Das Bailim does not create, is not significant. So says the Gemara, what didn't we learn in the Mishnah in Peya? Hikdisha not shalom nigmru. What happens if a makdish tvua before Gemara Malacha? V'gamran ha-gizbar, and then the gizbar, the gabbai of the Beis HaMikdash, he does gemar malacha. V'acharkach pidayan, and then I redeem it. Then I buy it back from the Beis HaMikdash, peturin. It's pater, meaning the fact that the gizbar did gemar malacha at a time when it was hektish, that was significant. That's significant. So says the gemara, but what do you mean? Hari gizbar ka'acher hu. The gizbar is not me. The gizbar is like a person who is not the owner, who's doing gemar malacha, and you see it's significant. V'yat ma'amar masha asa asui. So how can you say what he did, he did? Kashan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says if gemar malacha is done shalom idaz bailim, it is not significant. And here you see, the gizbar does it. It is significant. Answer, amar lei, tiftar kamanda amar. Maybe it relates to the machlokes, which we had back in Maseches Shrumis, gizbar kebailim. There's a machlokes, whether the gizbar is considered the owner. Real, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, obviously. But the gizbar has certain rights that, you know, and he's a stand-in, a representative for the Beis HaMikdash, kind of like a gabbai in a shul, represents the shul in his capacity, right? So too, a gizbar is like the bailim of the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a raya. The gizbar doing it, he's like the bailim. Gizbar kebailim. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. Udalok Rabbi Yossi. And it would be against Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, if a gizbar does Gemara Malacha, according to Reish Lakish, it would not be good. Because that's like Shalomidas. To Rabbi Yossi Amar, who gizbar, who acher. Right? It would be like someone else. And therefore, I look at the Mara Folda, right across. Hari gizbar ka acher who? Legabe ha hektish. Velo niftiru b'me ruach ha gizbar. Kilu merchan ha hektish. Right, it would not be niftar through the meiruach of the gizbar. Right, he would argue on that mishnah in Peah. Shema mina meiruach shalomidas nitmal v'igiyas man chiyuba behektish niftar de hektish. Okay, fine. Rabbi Chananya could be that he would argue. Rabbi Chananya chevron de rabbanan. We had this title before. Rabbi Chananya, the colleague of the rabbis. Rabbi Chananya chevron de rabbanan boy. This is a second answer to the question that we asked on yesterday's daf. Like we said, remember the kasha about the women who give the sourdough. They give the sa'or to the baker, and the baker puts them all together. So even though each one didn't have enough to be mechayev and chala, you put them all together, they're chayev. But the Mishnah says that they are not chayev. So Rabbi Yochanan has a problem there, because Rabbi Yochanan says, Shalomidas Bailim should work, and that Mishnah says, Shalomidas Bailim does not work. So the answer that we said before is that, well, because he's going to split it up again. The baker is putting it all together now, but he's going to split it up, and he gives it all to all the women. So that's one answer. Here's a second answer. V'afil yish b'kulon kishir. Even if all together they have a shir, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan should say that there is a chiv. So no, ye'aseh kedavar shlonigra malachto v'yepater. Treat it as if there was no gemar malacha. And there's still a p'tur. Why is it still a p'tur? So this line we've had already, I think, twice in this Masechta. De Amar Rab Yossi, B'Shem Rab Zeira, B'Shem Rab Elazar, because of the following principle. We spoke about, let's say, remember you have the wine press. So you have they crush the wine on top, and then it goes down this pipe, and then it goes to the bottom. So we said the following line, that let's say I take a pitcher, I stick it into the bottom, I put it on my Shabbos table, because I'm going to drink some wine for Shabbos, but I have in mind that after whatever's left over in that pitcher, I'm putting back into the wine press. So we said, therefore there's no chiyuv of Gemar Malacha there, because, let's read it now, afen mashe belagin lo nitbal, even what's in the pitcher, does not become tevel, bebreishu azilach zero, because you're going to put it back, b'davrish lo nigmar malachto, you're going to put it back by something that's lo nigmar malacha, meaning even if you took it out from the bottom part of the wine press, even if you didn't take out the dregs yet, you didn't skim off the tops, you didn't do gemar malacha there, so you're going to put it back. So we've had that already a number of times. If you remember, we had, if you drink wine right outside the wine press, there's a difference between if you dilute it with cold water or with hot water. Dilute it with cold water, you'll put it back in, so therefore there's no chi of a gemar malacha. Hot water, you wouldn't put it, whatever you would put it back, it's going to go back to a state of non-gemar malacha. And if that's true, so then you could say it itself also does not have gemar malacha. So too here, that's for our case, where they give the sourdough to the baker in order to process. You're going to put it all together, but then they're going to give it back. He's going to give it back to the women, and where are they going to put it? The women are going to put it into flour and water in order to be able to bake their bread. That flour and water will not have gemar malacha yet. So it's Ki'ilu is going back to a state of lo nigmar malacha. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan would say that it's there's no chiyuv. Rabbi Yochanan holds that even if a gemar malacha is on shalom midas violin, it creates a chiyuv. What about this case? No, because here it's going to go back to a status and a environment of no gemar malacha. And that's why he would say it here, that would not be like a regular case of gemar malacha having been reached. Okay, we continue. Shum ba'bechi. So remember, we had now the list of items. We had a list of items in the Mishnah. After we spoke about the ants back on the previous daf, we had these garlic, special garlic and onions and lentils. All of these are only grown outside of the land of Israel, and therefore they're pater from maestros. Even midirabanan, because there's no confusion. People aren't going to think that these are grown here. That's what the Mishnah said. Patur mina maestros. Vinilkachin mikala de mishvias. Totally assumed chutzla aretz growths. So shum balbechi. We had the 2 days in the Mara and the Mara folder. What is balbechi? Name of a place, or it's so strong that you cry when you eat it. Ezu shum balbechi. How do you know what a shum balbechi is? Kol she'ein lo elachur echad makifes ha'amud. If you have a look at a garlic has all of these four or five pieces of garlic, cloves of garlic on each garlic. You take one off, you take one off, there's like five or seven of them. And let's say you only have one of them. That's the shum balbechi. They only have one, a single layer of cloves around the central stalk. So if you look at again, a regular garlic has a bunch of cloves around the central stalk. This one grows only one. Only one, that's how you know what the shum balbechi is. Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, kol she'enu ela klipa achas. Different shot, maybe only the only has one layer around the top of it. Only one layer of skin, so to speak, around the top of it. That's the shumbal bechi. Ezo batzel shal richba. What about this onion? Kol she ukso nimach letocho. If its stem is kind of pressed into it from the top, it's not sticking totally out. It's pressed in. It's recessed inside the item. Rebbe Gamliel omer kol she ein lo eres. What's eres? Poison. Has no poison. It means it's not sharp. It's not sharp like other onions. That's what the Marafol, the Rechakadievsky. Eino charif. It's not charif like others. Good. Eloane, Greisin, Hakilkin. Right? What are these types of beans? Elu hamiruban. These square-shaped beans. That's what the Greisin Hakilkin is. Tani, really? Square-shaped beans? Ein meruba mishesis imebrachus. There's nothing square in my sabrachus. There's nothing square in my sabrachus. How can you tell me these beans are square? There's nothing square in my sabrachus. Says the Gemara, really? Come on, there is. Hesev rebrechia. V'hada tanina, we learned in a Mishnah in Negaim, describing spots of saras. Gufa shal beheres. What is a baharis? One of the types of spots of saras. Kigris ha-kilki meruba. It's like the square kilki bean. So you see it is square. The Mishnah says it's square. Amar of Bisna. No. Kal garma amra lesle meruba. That whole statement is pointing in the direction that it's not square. Why? Because if it's square, why do you have to say the square kilki bean? All kilki beans are square. So just say kilki bean. What do you have to say square for? Obviously, it doesn't mean square kilki bean. What does it mean? When you measure the spot of the tsaras, you have to like square it off in order to measure the size. We have that sometimes. And we have like in Mesecha Sukkah and elsewhere, sometimes you have to like square a circle to be marbe the corners, the chronos. So that's what it means. It does not mean that it is square. Bahanaga, naga, some type of mint. A leaf that's square. Mole kitrin, it's not really square. It's got like these knots on the edges that doesn't make it perfectly square. Vaha aviva de pila. What about an aviva de pila? What is an aviva de pila? That is very unclear what an aviva de pila is. Some say it's a type of fruit. That's what the Pnei Moshe says. Einav shal pri echad meruba. Right, aviva de pila is some type of fruit. If you look in the other mefarshim, if you look in here in the Rav Chaim Kadievsky, he just says, Merubahu, it's square. That tells what it is. Others say it's something like an aviva, something of an elephant. Depila. Pila is an elephant. The aviva, I don't know what part of the elephant, but aviva, the Rosh Hashanah has the girsa of aniva depila. It's a type of kidney, it's a type of legume. Okay, but either way, isn't this square? No, agolumi lamatan. It's circular on the bottom. Period. Okay, this is an interesting discussion. So there's nothing square in nature. So I was trying to look around, right by Google. So there are, the discussion online seems to be, are there any angles in nature? Are there any, inherently, you could always have a sharp point of a rock, but if there's anything angle, and most things are circular, are roundish edges, nothing but interesting, square. So what's the message of that? What's the message of lack of squareness in nature? So I saw they quote that Rav Hirsch has one line. Rav Hirsch has one line in Dvarim. We don't like even by tzitzis, not it shouldn't be. I mean, that's interesting. Tzitzis should be square, right? A bias generally is square. What about a sukkah that's not square? So he says square symbolizes. Here, to this mission which has grown out of us, he's talking about the Torah, a bias, a place to be realized and carried out, and moreover, meruba, by free-willed human activity, as symbolized by being square. Angles are not found in nature, only curves. Angles denote human intentional work. So I don't fully understand this, but it could be a circle symbolizes there's no end. You just like go around and around and around. You kick it out. There's no growth. There's no part of the human, adding and creation. It's just in a circle, like a square. At least you get to an end, then you have to like turn. So it symbolizes that your involvement. That's what angles symbolize. Right? Circle is just around and around. Maybe it's something deep like that to teach us that in nature, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So it's a perfect system that goes around and around. Human beings, we could create squares. Because our job is to do things and be active. Okay, something's got to be something deeper there, but that's an idea. I think we mentioned there's Bnei Yisachar on Parshas Kisisa. He writes in the Igrat Dekala, his Sefer on Chumash, that there are only two psukim in the entire Torah that start with a samach. Only two psukim that start with a samach. One pasuk is Saru Maher. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I think by the Egel, your nation has fallen. Saru Maher Menaderech. That's one pasuk. And the other pasuk is Slach na lavanam zekodo chasecha, forgiveness, right? So what's a circle? A samach is like a circle, like you kick it out of it. It's go around and around. Sometimes the cycle of sin, we feel like we can't get out of. Sorrow my hair, right? We just go around it. We can't get out of. The cycle of sin is infinite. Kadosh Baruch Hu says the cycle of my accepting tshuva is also infinite. Slach na, my forgiveness is infinite, and therefore that's the two samachs. Okay, is to buy meimar. Says the Gemara, another answer that you might say, like how do you say that isn't something square, the Greece and Akilkin, is to buy Maimar lo Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel ela bebrios. Maybe Rashi Reb Shimon Gamliel meant there's nothing square when it comes to live creatures. Vitanikein meruba ba'ochlin, meruba ba'ochlin ein meruba bebrios. Maybe some foods, this is another answer to the question, maybe the Greece and Akilkin are square, but what he meant to say was that there's no meruba when it comes to brios. Period. Eloi nadashim amitzrius. What about these Egyptian lentils? Kol she galgalei and chadid. How do you know those? If their galgal, their edge are sharp, are pointy, right? Which aren't regular adashim. Regular adashim are rounded, right? The same, and that's why adashim is known as a machal of avelim, like an egg. Why? Because the cycle of life, it goes around and around, right? And that's but these adashim mitzrios are unusual. That's why they have a point. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer kol she ein lahen sroros. If there are no impurities, right? They grow in the dirt and the rocks around them don't get mixed in. Eluei nakrikas kol sheuksein, the last one on the item. And all of these, if you see these, you know they grew in Chutz Laaretz. Hakrikas kol sheuksein miutin. The stems are very small and thin, so they're hard to harvest. The hilkatei merubin, and that's why the tircha in harvesting them is great. Madamila, what's similar to them? The Amar Biosi go on Elain kunaisa. Like those kunaisa, they are similar to them. Okay, and they can be bought by anybody, from anybody, because, they don't have any kedusha. They can be bought by anybody during Shemitah. Reb Yirmiyah boy, karkamin, maoshi mutarn mishum svachin. Saffron, kerkom, is that mutar mishum svichin? What does that mean? So I think we had this earlier in Seder Zeroyim, this question. Saffron is not really edible by itself. It's like a spice they have to add into other as an ingredient. So is that included in the Gzeirah of Svichin? The Gzeirah of Svichin that we have, as we mentioned, we paskin not like Rabbi Akiva, but any after growths, because there's a chash that a person will plant it himself, and he'll say he didn't plant it. So does that Gzeirah apply to non-edible items, to things that are only edible if you put it into other foods? Says the Gemara, let's try to prove it. Hasiv, Rabbi Tanchum, Bar Yirmiya, well, I'll answer, Yevahad Tanina. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah in Bechoros, Hachashit ala Shvius, if somebody's chashan on Shemitah, you can't buy flax from him, even combed flax. So isn't flax like splinters, literally, but not edible? And we assume, what's the isser, what's the reason that you can't buy this pishtan, this flax from somebody's chashan on Shvius? We assume it's because of svichin. Isn't it because of the isser of svichin? And that's why. So you see, svichin applies even to inedible items. So doesn't that prove for a charkom also? So like my answer is no. Amma Rabbi Chinina, Mipnei Zara. No, it's because there's seeds, there's flax seeds. Mixed into the flax, there are seeds. And that's the reason that you can't buy from the chashid on Shvius. Rabbi Mana Amar. So Rabbi Mana says, what's that? Mipnei Zara, if it's because of the seeds, it's because of the seeds. One second. Vada Taninan. Hachashid li osmocher chuma lechulin, ein lochem imenu mayim vemela. If somebody's chashid for chuma, you can't even buy water from them. You can't buy salt from them. Meaning, if somebody is chashud, we have a blanket fine. Islacha meimer maimu melach mebnei zaro. You want to say, oh, the water also is because of the zera? No. Lo mishum knas. It's because of a knas. We fine a person who is chashud, and therefore, you can't buy anything from them. So avacha mishum knas. So to hear is because of knas. You don't have to say it's because of the seeds. The pishjon is because of a knas, that if somebody is chashud on Shemitah, we do not allow you to buy anything from them, and therefore there's no raya to something that's inedible, whether that is included in Svichin. That's a separate issue. That's not learned out from our case. One more line. Menachem bar Mavsima, Achui de Yonasan Kipa, Mishem Rav Ami, Pishton Okachet Mikolon Mishvias. You could buy Pishton from anybody during Shemitah. Had the same Rav Sheni Yodeim Chashid Hu Imeno Chashid, as long as you don't know if he's Chashid or not. Imdavar barishu chashud aser. If he's clearly chashud, so then it would be a problem. It's aser to buy from flax because, again, because of the knas. Maybe we'll start with if somebody's chashud. Is somebody automatically chashud? Is an amma aretz automatically chashud for shvius like he is for jubas and maestros? We'll see. We'll start with that. Then maybe we'll talk in general about dalakav schus. That somebody is chashud, okay, they're chashud, but if somebody's not chashud, we have to generally try to give them the benefit of the doubt. And B'Hashem, as we finish up, B'Hashem, next time, Maseches Maaseiros, next daf Mem Vav. Okay, we'll stop here.